Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to be here tonight. It's always a challenge for us to watch the presentation and see the people that we love and see how God's working in their lives. Continue to pray for us, pray for the church, especially while we're here, and that God will continue to work there in Guayaquil, Ecuador. The trip next month, next year, is June 26th through July 3rd, and I know I'd love to see anyone who'd like to come down. You're more than welcome to come. We do have a certain limit, imagine. We can only put so many people into so many vehicles and transport them all around Ecuador, so I don't know how many people are going to be interested in coming, but please, if you are able, it would be a real blessing for us to have you come down and see the work that God is doing there in Ecuador. And as I mentioned, you know, pray for us. You know, so many times you hear that. Pray for us, pray for us, pray for us. We say that one to another as Christians. We say that as missionaries. And we like to think that we can pray for you all. And prayer is a really powerful tool. As human beings, we like things that we can touch. Things that are concrete. You know, as we think about missions, we think about giving and going. And those are concrete things. We can see a missionary get on an airplane and fly away, or we ourselves can get on an airplane and fly away and travel to the far sides of the world, and we can hand out tracts, and we can put that money in the offering plate, and we see it go in the offering plate. It's a concrete thing. Prayer is not concrete. So it's hard for us. How do we measure prayer? When you wake up in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock, I guess it'd be the middle of the morning, 3 a.m. in the morning, 3 a.m., and then you have a missionary on your heart. And you don't know why. Their name wasn't mentioned and for weeks in church. And you haven't thought about them. And then all of a sudden you wake up and, wow, I need to pray for that person. Why? Why? That's happened to me. And I've written to the missionary later and said, man, I don't know. You know, excited, thinking, okay, let's hear it. I don't know why, but I woke up and I just prayed for you. How's everything going? And he wrote back and said, great. No problems. Oh. Well, I wanted to hear that you just missed that bus on the road, or, you know, you almost crashed, or that God saved your life. Or no, nothing great, but thanks for praying. We don't know. We don't know why God works. He puts in our hearts to pray for people. But He uses it. Prayer is not something that's easily measured. What's its effect? And so it's hard for us. You know, we want to see results. We want to see the efforts going out and say, wow, I've done this or I've done that. In Colossians chapter 4, we get the prayer requests of a mighty missionary. The Apostle Paul, writing to this church in Colossus, in chapter 4, he presented them with some of his prayer requests. And I think it's worth our time as we think about prayer to consider this great man of God's prayer requests. And as missionaries, we can identify with this. As Christians, we identify with these prayer requests. Colossians chapter 4, I'd like to read verses 2 through 4. Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2, we're going to read all the way down to verse 4, just three verses. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, the Apostle Paul writes, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Let's pray and then we can continue on with the message. Father, I thank you for this opportunity that you've given us this evening. Thank you for each one who's here, present. I pray that you'd help us to be attentive, to be present, not just physically, but mentally, and perhaps even more importantly, spiritually present. Do your work in our hearts. Teach us what you want to teach us with your word. Use your Holy Spirit this evening to change us, to make us more effective prayer warriors. Do your work, Father, in our hearts. And if it be your will that maybe there's one or two here this evening, Father, who are considering missions, who are thinking about what your plan is for their lives, I pray that they would have clarity of thought and make that decision that you want them to make this evening. Help them to commit to you, to serve you if that's what you would have them to do. Father, help us to be used of you this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned, the Apostle Paul, he was a great and mighty servant of God. He was an apostle. He preached to everybody, servants all the way up to kings. And when I think of Paul, I think of a bold witness. And I think of someone who was willing, who always had the gospel on his lips, and who was always looking for that door of opportunity. Maybe you've gone out or spent some time with someone like that, and you're walking along talking, and all of a sudden they're over there preaching the gospel to somebody, and you think, well, how did that happen? Or you're sitting there, doing something, and all of a sudden that coworker is preaching the gospel, and you think, man, I'm missing out. What's going on? Paul was someone I think of who always was ready, who was looking and waiting and expecting a moment to present the gospel. And yet here he presents us with some prayer requests. He says, pray for us. Pray for us. Prayer is so important. Not just to missionaries. It's very important to church unity. We were talking before the service of church unity. Church unity is one of those things that you can't manufacture. There's no special program that creates church unity. It's a spiritual work. We are unified in so many ways as Christians. We're unified in that bond, in that family relationship in Christ. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're unified in the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. We have a bond of love. We should have a bond of love, right? But we should also have a bond of prayer. Prayer is vital to unity in the church. He says here in verse 2, speaking to the church and their attitude or their habit of prayer, he says, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. Now that says to me that they're already praying, right? He says, continue. You don't continue something that you haven't started. You have to be praying. So the church at Colossus was a praying church. But Paul said, continue in prayer. And I would challenge you to do the same this evening. I would challenge myself to continue in prayer. We cannot stop. We cannot say, well, we've prayed enough. Continue in prayer. And he says, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We need to be praying one for another. Praying for different members of the church. I know of some who are going through health issues, who have different issues going on with their bodies. Pray for them. We need to continue in prayer. We need to be faithful in prayer. Maybe there's some who are facing some challenges in their life, some spiritual decisions, and they haven't made it known to the whole body of the church, but they've let some know because they trust them to pray. Pray. Continue in prayer and watch in the same. And then he says, with thanksgiving. I think that's a key to prayer, is to give thanks. Be thankful. Oh, but Brother Ken, I prayed and it didn't work out like I thought. Well, give thanks. Because it worked out like God planned. It worked out like He wanted. It was His plan, not ours. We don't pray to bow God down to our plans. We pray so that we can be transformed to think as He thinks. Continue in prayer, Paul said, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. But he says something here in verse 3, and this is really the heart of the message. He says, with all praying also for us. I tell you, as we travel around and visit churches, it's so encouraging to hear people say to us, we've been praying for you. Happened to me today. Puts a smile on my face. Warms my heart. Gives me courage. Gives me encouragement. Helps me walk out and say, okay, let's go. It lifts us up as missionaries. We've been praying for you. And I know it's not just one or two. I know, especially here, many have been praying for us. And that's such an encouragement to us. Paul needed prayer. We need prayer. The battle is a spiritual battle. If souls will be changed in Guayaquil, Ecuador, it's not because I am so good in Spanish. Those of you who are Spanish speakers know that I am not so good in Spanish. You've heard it. You've heard my errors. And I could tell you many funny stories about my errors that I make while I'm preaching. It's preaching along and people start snickering. Oh, no. What happened? Because I didn't tell a joke. When I tell a joke, they don't laugh. So I know it wasn't because I told a joke. Man, you know, it's not because we are there and we are so special that God says, okay, I'm gonna do something here in Guayaquil because the Wheelocks are there. No. It's God doing the work in the hearts of the people. Why? Because people are praying. God does the work because people are interceding. People are praying. Paul said, pray for us. He was a missionary writing to a church saying, pray for us. As your missionaries, I would say, pray for us. Pray for us. How can you pray for missionaries? How can you pray as Paul desired prayer for himself, for his missions team, as we desire prayer? How can you pray for a missionary? Well, Paul gives us four prayer requests in this passage. He says in verse 3, he says, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. That God would open unto us a door of utterance. As missionaries, we need opportunities to preach the gospel. Now, as we read the New Testament, as we study, many times we have an idea about soul winning. That word itself brings up concepts of door knocking. Let's go soul winning. We're going to go knock doors, right? Or soul winning. Well, we're going to hand out tracts. And I don't have anything against door knocking. I don't have anything against handing out tracts. But I think what we see in the New Testament is something much more than just a one time on a Thursday evening or a Saturday morning going out and knocking on doors and saying, "Woo! I spent 2 hours knocking doors. I am done. I've got my box checked for soul winning this week." I don't find that in here. I find that we as Christians, we are called to be witnesses. You shall be witnesses. Be witnesses. That's a daily living out the gospel, showing Jesus Christ in our lives each and every day. Certainly we can have times when we go out door knocking or when we're handing out tracts. That's fine. But each and every day we need to be witnesses in the workplace, at home, wherever we are. We should be witnesses. Jesus said that we should be witnesses. And as we are witnessing with our lives, with our testimony, we heard of the centurion this morning. Do you think he was a witness? Wow! I don't know that he had to open his mouth. His life showed a change that had happened in his life. He was different than all the other centurions we read about. He was different than all the other Romans that you hear about. Why? Because Christ was working in his heart. He was a different person. As we live the gospel, as we show forth Christ each and every day, people should be paying attention. They might notice a difference in us. That's the idea. Now, unless you work at church, where everybody should be showing forth the gospel, there shouldn't be that much difference. But we should be... See, it happens here. I tell a joke and nobody laughs. It's my special gift. I have the gift of not laughter. But anyway, so as we show forth Christ each and every day, and people are noticing, wow, there's something different about this guy. We should be living the gospel. But then those moments should come when we have a moment, a few minutes or half an hour, when we can sit down with this person at coffee or take them out to lunch, and we can say, hey, you know what? Let me just explain to you why I'm different. Let me tell you about Jesus. When they ask us and say, okay, you know what, when this happened in your life and everything was going wrong, you didn't lose control. You had peace, they always say. You had this peace. Why? Let me explain that to you. Those are moments when we can preach Christ. We should live Christ each and every day. And we should look for those moments, for those opportunities when we can preach. And that's what Paul was asking for right here. He said that God would open unto us a door of utterance, an opportunity to preach the gospel. We think of missionaries many times as those who go and spend all day, every day preaching the gospel. I had that idea. I thought, man, that's what it's going to be like. It's great. I'm going to go to Guayaquil. And every single day I'm going to be preaching the gospel everywhere I go. Well, about half my time is taken up in survival, I call it. Waiting in line. And you can talk to somebody in line at the bank until they turn their back on you. Or, you know, doing different things, driving, sitting in the car by myself. I'll work on evangelizing myself, maybe, I don't know. You know, you just don't always have opportunities. Paul said, pray for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance, opportunities to preach the gospel. We need to be praying for those opportunities. So many times we wait and we say, okay, I'm going to look for those opportunities. But we haven't prayed about it. We haven't asked God to give us an opportunity to preach the gospel. Paul said, pray for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. That He'd give us the opportunities that we need to preach the gospel. Paul said, I have another prayer request for you. He said, pray for us that God would give us opportunities. And then he says also in verse 3, to speak the mystery of Christ. So Paul was asking for opportunities, but he was also asking for wisdom. Wisdom to preach the gospel. Praying also for us that God would open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. Now it's shocking to me to think about the fact that I've been saved since 1995. It seems like such a short time ago. And yet I think this year I'm going to be 21 years old in Christ. It's pretty incredible. You know, I remember when I got saved and I heard people say, I've been saved 3 years. Wow! 3 years. That's amazing. I can't imagine that. Or 10 years. Or 15. I've been saved 21 years almost. Praise the Lord. I was 21 when I got saved. Oh, now you know how old I am. Well, maybe not. Maybe you're not that good at math. So now almost half my life, coming up on half my life in Christ. Wow. That's amazing. But as we think about those of us who've been in church, who've been in Christ for many years, the gospel is such a simple message. We've heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it. We know all the terms. We know all the phrases. We know everything that there is to know. It's so simple, so basic. How can anybody not understand the gospel? It's such a simple truth. Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day. I mean, what more do you need to hear? Just believe it. But for many people who are out on the streets, even this evening, even right here in South Riding, that simple message is not so simple. That simple message is not so clear. The basics of the gospel to us are so basic, but to many people, it's not that basic. It's a complex, confusing, unheard of message. Wait, what do you mean? I'm a sinner? What does that mean? Well, I haven't done anything. They need to hear what it is to be a sinner. What does that mean? Well, I haven't killed anybody. I haven't done any of these brutal things. How can I be a wicked person? Why wouldn't God want to accept me? What have I done to offend Him? To us, it's a simple fact. We understand. We say, oh yeah, absolutely. The mystery of the gospel. The gospel needs to be made clear. And I think we can err sometimes when we preach the gospel. We just assume that everybody knows exactly what we're talking about. You know, you look around and I love Community Baptist Church. It's exciting for me. I come in and I see people from all over the world are here. I talked to the brother this morning from Nepal. And I thought, wow, that is amazing. I mean, I don't know that I've ever talked to anybody from Nepal. I've talked to people named Paul, but not from Nepal. I mean, that's interesting. That's cool. That's exciting. You know? But as we look at people who come from different backgrounds, different countries, different places from the United States, different cultures within the United States, people can come to hear the gospel from many different backgrounds. And when we say, well, you need to trust Christ, well, hold on now for a second. Let's just take a minute and see if what we say, what we're saying, really is communicating to this person that we're talking to the Bible truth. Maybe this person came, grew up in a cult. And they heard that Jesus existed. He's the Son of God. But He's not God. So when I say you need to trust in Christ, oh, okay, that's interesting. Oh, good, we're all good. But we're not communicating on the same page. We need to be careful as we preach the gospel to make sure that we are making the mystery of the gospel made known. We're speaking the right words and that people are understanding what we're trying to communicate. Talking about sin, the resurrection. Oh, okay. That's life. What do they call that? Reincarnation, right? No, absolutely not. How do we know how people are hearing or understanding what we're saying? We have to be very careful. Now, throw in a foreign language, throw in a different culture, it gets even harder. We need to be careful to be praying for our missionaries. Paul said, pray for us that we might be able to speak the mystery of Christ. As we preach Christ here or on the mission field, let us be praying one for another. We'd have wisdom to know how to make the gospel known clear. We don't change it, but we want to make sure that it's being expressed clearly. That people can hear it and understand the biblical meanings of the words we're using. What it really means for them, so they can believe the true gospel and not be led astray. Paul said, pray for us, that we'd have opportunities. Pray for us, that we'd have wisdom. A third prayer request that Paul mentions here in verse 3 at the end, he says, for which I am also in bonds. Paul was in prison. Not because he was speeding. Not because he held up a 7-Eleven. Paul, see, look, another joke. And then nobody laughs. That was hilarious. How can you not laugh at that? Paul, why was Paul in prison? He was in prison for preaching the gospel. He was being persecuted. He was suffering persecution for Christ. He wasn't complaining about it. He wasn't saying, oh, poor me. He just said, pray for me. Because I'm in prison for the gospel. You need to be praying for your missionaries. Because all around the world, people do not have the freedoms that we have here in the United States. Or that we have in Ecuador. I can have a church sign on the building in Ecuador, and once in a while people complain, but no big deal. The police don't come. They have come to the church, but for other reasons, to help with the people that are against the people that are stealing things out of the cars. So, you know, it's good to have the police there. They're not coming to arrest us, to harass us, to pull us out of church. We don't have fears. We hand out tracts. Who's watching? We don't have to worry about that. But there's a lot of places in the world where persecution is a daily event. Not just from strangers, but from family. When someone says, man, I got saved. I accepted Christ. And I want to get baptized. That's like asking for death. It happens. What was it, maybe a month ago? When the missionary to Russia, his family had to leave the field and he's charged some 200 rubles or something because he's holding services in his house in Russia. The gringo, they don't call them gringos in Russia, they call them, I don't know what they call them, North American. He's a U.S. missionary, Baptist missionary. And he got fined because he was having a religious service in his house. We're living in those days. We're in those times. Still. There's a lot of persecution going on in the world. And we need to pray for those missionaries. Paul doesn't say here, pray for me that I would get out of jail free. He doesn't say, pray for me that I would just be released, that they would let me go. I think Paul says, pray for me that God would give me the grace to handle this. The grace. Persecution's, as Pastor mentioned this morning, persecution's not necessarily bad. Persecution has a silver lining. Excellent statement. Sticks with you. Persecution has a silver lining. Paul says, pray for me. Because I'm in bonds for the gospel's sake. There are missionaries all around the world. There are Christians all around the world who are suffering persecution for Christ's sake. Pray for them. Pray for them. Maybe you don't know their situation. Maybe you don't know them by name. Okay. But maybe you'll hear about them. Maybe you'll hear, wow, this is a missionary in Russia? Oh, okay, well, I've heard that this happens in Russia, so maybe I'll pray for these missionaries to Russia and the nationals that are there. Use our brains. Let's think. Let's pray intelligently for those who are suffering persecution. But you know, even those who don't face persecution on a day-to-day basis, every once in a while, can run into a moment of persecution. It can happen. It could happen to us right here in the United States. Maybe you have a coworker. You bring your Bible to work and you set it on your desk and you do your best to have a good testimony and to love that guy or love that woman. And they come in and they see your Bible and they say the meanest, nastiest things to you. And they do things and they persecute you. Maybe it's not every day. Maybe it's just once in a while. Maybe you go to school and you bring your Bible to school and you just want to sit down at lunchtime and read your Bible. And that guy, not that guy, like the guy over there in the other, you know, when you're eating lunch, who happens to say things like, you know, harassing you for being a Christian. Poor people all sitting over here think, well, what did I do? No, it's not you. It's the guy over there. Like, you know, whatever. We can face persecution every once in a while. We need to pray for our missionaries. Pray for your missionaries that God would help them to have the grace to face that persecution, whether it's once in a while or whether it's every single day, but that God would give them the grace to handle it. Paul said, pray for me that God would give me opportunities to preach, that I would have wisdom to make known the mystery of Christ, that Paul would have grace to handle persecution. In the fourth prayer request we find in verse 4, Paul said, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Wow, that's powerful words coming from the Apostle Paul. You know, for me, for Joe Schmo missionary, I was going to say Joe Flacco missionary, but he's a quarterback, I think, isn't he? I don't know the English anymore. I don't know English. For me, I'm just a regular missionary. Yeah, I can understand, but this is Paul. This is the Apostle Paul. This is Paul! And he says, that I may make it known as I ought to speak. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Wow. Really see the human side. The human nature in the Apostle Paul. In these words. What humility. What recognition of his own failure. His own weakness. The flesh, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. All of us struggle with those times when we should say something. We should preach Christ and we don't. All of us struggle with those times. Oh, but you're a missionary. Aren't you always supposed to preach the gospel? I had a little girl in Ohio say that to us. We were at a barbecue, family barbecue there. This was many years ago. And the little girl, she said, Mommy, if these people are missionaries, why aren't they preaching the gospel? Of course, we were with a church family, so, you know. Yes, as missionaries, we do have times when we don't preach the gospel. And there are times when we should preach the gospel and we don't. We fail. We all have those times. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for your missionaries, that God would help them to speak when they should speak, to say what they need to say, to make the gospel manifest, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Maybe we struggle with hunger, we're tired, having a bad day, and we need to preach the gospel. Really, today? You know, it can happen to all of us. Trying to do your commute into work, everything starts out good, there's an accident, the road's closed, you're late, and the pressure builds, and Then you get to work and you find out that you can't park close to work. You have to park somewhere else. You have to walk and and it's raining on you by then. And you get to work and you're just angry. And you spilled your coffee on your suit and you get to work and you're just angry. Oh, it's such a bad day. Some guy comes up to you and says, "Hey, you know, I'd really like to hear about this thing that you have that makes you different." Today? No! We have those days. There's things that are external that affect us, that affect our willingness, our desire to preach the gospel. And Paul said, pray for us. That we would make it manifest as we ought to speak. But sometimes it's not external things. Sometimes it's internal things. Sometimes we're not spiritually where we need to be. So that when the moment comes that we should be preaching the gospel, we don't even realize it. Or maybe we realize it, but we're just cold. No, not today. I'm angry at you, God. Why would I preach anything about you? We can suffer those things. We can face those days. We can have those lows in our spiritual life, even as missionaries. Pray for your missionaries. God would help them in those days, to help them in those times. That they would be lifted up, that they'd be revived, that they'd be encouraged, and that God would be able to use them and continue to use them to make the gospel known, to make it manifest as I ought to speak. Let us pray for our missionaries, that God would give them strength to preach the gospel, strength to be faithful, strength to make the gospel known. As Christians, as we grow closer to the Lord, as we mature spiritually, we should look to move beyond a simple prayer. God, bless the missionaries. Okay, if you don't pray anything at all, pray that. That's good. God knows what we need and He can answer that prayer. Start there. But as we mature spiritually, we should look to move beyond that. Simple prayer. God, bless the missionaries. Here we have four prayer requests from the Apostle Paul. And as a missionary, I can say, amen. As Christians, I'm sure you're saying, amen. I need prayer in these areas. We all do. Pray for your missionaries. That God would give them opportunities. That He'd give them wisdom. That He'd give them grace. And that He would give them strength. Would you pray for your missionaries? Pray for your missionaries. We need it. Paul said in verse 2, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. And I think that's a good challenge for us tonight. I'm sure that many of us are prayer warriors. Continue in prayer. Keep it up. Keep on praying. And these prayer requests will help us to pray a little more intelligently, a little more clear for our missionaries.